And welcome back to the Tuned In Podcast. Andrew and Braden here with episode 42.
Yes, sir.
We're happy to be here. Getting close to the end of the summer, it feels like. We're about to get some football.
Yes, sir.
You excited for that?
Oh, man, I'm so excited. We obviously missed a week. I survived being homeless for a couple days. That was fun.
It's that time of year for us college students.
Yep. Yeah, but it's a, man, exciting time for sports. Football starting, basketball starting, you know, man, it's just exciting.
Yeah. How do you like your new apartment?
Oh, it's good. It's good. I got, seems like I got some nice people around me, so I'm excited. How do you like yours?
It's pretty good. Getting excited for that next semester. Some good people as well. So
good. We got a really exciting episode for you all today. Lots to talk about. We didn't have an episode last week, but Jazz signed 4 new players. Well, kind of, maybe a little more, with some signings made official. We'll talk about those. We'll also talk about the noteworthy documentary, which we talked a little bit about last week. We'll go over some 2K ratings, what players are rated, what players are missing, and then we'll talk about the Utah Jazz schedule, which was released this past week, and then we'll close with a couple of local sports, college football starting this upcoming weekend. And this is episode 42 of Tuned In Jazz.
All right, so we got a lot of transactions happening. The Jazz are signing some new players. I don't think it's big news, right? These guys probably aren't going to play that much, but it's good to dive into a couple of them.
Yeah.
So maybe let's start with some of the more lesser known guys.
Let's do it.
Oscar Tshiebwe, two-way contract signed by the Jazz, and they also waived Tavion Kinsley, so he was only a member of the Jazz for a month or two.
Yeah, kind of sad. I think Oscar Tshiebwe could be, I don't know, I don't think he'll like be a piece for us moving forward, but former NCAA player of the year when he was at Kentucky. Really good rebounder. Although he's a little bit undersized, I believe he's not a 7-footer, if I remember right. So that's kind of the drawback there.
6'9".
6'9", yeah.
Power forward.
So kind of, I think that's the biggest weakness with this game, but it could be good. I mean, why not try some guys out with some two-ways, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's only ever played 8 NBA games,
yeah,
which is kind of interesting.
Yeah.
So he doesn't really have that much experience. Do you want to guess his career high in those 8 games?
Like 6 points?
8 points, eight so points. Not far off, yeah.
He was the reason for the Giannis freakout last year. I don't know if you remember that, with the game ball.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes, that was it was Oscar Tshiebwe's first NBA point, but it also happened to be Giannis's first, what was
his 50-point game or something. I don't know.
So he wanted the ball as well, but
I didn't know that was him. That's crazy, that connection. We've got the guy that took Giannis's ball.
Yeah, for real. So maybe he can guard Giannis when we play him.
Yeah, he went to Kentucky, right?
Yes, I think he started at West Virginia and then transferred to Kentucky, where he made all those rebounds. So kind of cool.
Yeah, it looks like when he was on Kentucky, he averaged 17 and 16 points a game. Mm. Pretty good player. So
yeah, very good in college.
Who knows?
Yeah, he's one of those guys who's a very good college player, but just doesn't translate super great to the NBA. But hopefully he can find a spot on our team. Be good.
Yeah, and then we also signed Babacar Sané.
Yeah.
Babacar Sané. I don't know if I'm pronouncing right, of course, but
yeah, I don't know a ton about him. I was trying to find some stuff. There's not a lot of, on his Instagram he had some pictures wearing a G League Ignite jersey, so he must be an Ignite guy.
All I know about him is that I didn't even see him, but apparently he played on the Jazz Summer League roster.
Yeah, I don't remember that either.
So yeah. I mean, he only played like 10 minutes a game in the games he played, and
he
probably just missed him.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, and then the terms of his deal aren't disclosed, so I don't know how we signed him. So, yeah. But he's on the roster apparently.
And then you mentioned this earlier. Well, you told me about this earlier, but we waived Tavion Kinsley right. kind of secretly. There wasn't like
no
big
news
or anything.
No report on that, yeah.
Yeah. You know, it was short-lived. We signed him just right before Summer League, didn't we? I feel like we didn't really have
yep.
him.
He was the first one to get signed.
Yeah, that's right.
So I guess it was non-guaranteed, or they just didn't feel yeah. that's the way they wanted to go, so they got rid of him.
Yeah.
A lot of those two-way guys are probably just Salt Lake Stars players anyways, so I don't even know, like, between the Jazz front office or, like, the Stars front office.
Yeah.
Are they the same, or do they...
Makes you wonder.
...collaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely.
And then the biggest signing of the time, Patty Mills.
Yes.
One year, $3.3 million to the Jazz.
Yeah, kind of exciting.
I've heard mixed opinions about this, but how do you feel?
Yeah, I think, I mean, I really don't think that it makes us competitive at all, which is not what we're going for. I see it kind of as like kind of a Chris Dunn, like a veteran. I love the idea of Keontae getting to learn from a guy like Patty Mills and Isaiah Collier. And
yep.
So I
don't
see
anything wrong
with
it. Me. I hope he doesn't play that much to take away minutes.
Yeah.
Maybe like 10 or 15 minutes a game.
Yeah.
Just fun facts about Patty Mills. Do you know where he went to college?
I don't actually.
A hint would be it was in the WCC.
Oh, really? Was he like a Santa Clara guy or?
Close. They've been better in recent years. One of the better teams in WCC.
Oh, man. Who's been good?
St. Mary's?
Right? Okay.
Yep. So he went there. And of course, he's from Australia. He's been playing on their national team forever.
Ooh. Yeah. He played well in the Olympics, too, I want to say. Yeah.
Yeah. He's pretty solid, but he's getting up there in age. But
yeah, he is.
As long as he doesn't play a whole lot, I'm happy to have him on the team. He's only making $3 million, so
absolutely.
I know for us, $3 million's like crazy, but for Jazz salary cap, that's nothing,
no.
right?
He also has a championship. He knows what it takes. Like, the fact that he started his career in a championship environment like the Spurs were when he was there is like, if he can just bring a little part of that over here to I believe that was where he played for Will Hardy as well, is that correct?
Yeah, or at least he was on the staff in some capacity.
Okay, yeah. They played.
So they reunite each other. Together.
Yeah. So kind of exciting. I don't see anything wrong with it myself.
Yeah, I'm excited for it. And then just a small note, Jazz officially signed Filipowski, Eubanks, and Juzang.
Let's go.
To their contracts. They're inked in.
Yeah.
As before, it was kind of just like in principle.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of interesting, like we talked about how they hadn't officially signed anybody. They made an announcement about Filipowski, but they still haven't said anything about Williams and Collier. I'm assuming they've been signed, but we just haven't like...
They might have done
had a statement about
maybe
it.
The first announcement was official.
Yeah.
I don't know how to tell because like some of them were like per sources that Jazz didn't say anything about it. And others were like, we officially signed this guy.
It also could be like a, I wonder if first round picks just automatically get that or something. Like maybe it didn't need to be announced because they were both first rounders or something.
Yeah, I feel like Cody Williams got his contract inked pretty early on.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that would make sense. Yeah.
Good. And then just there's a rumor I found. This is like within a couple hours of us recording our podcast.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a rumor, right? But apparently, the Knicks were interested in Walker Kessler and calling us about him.
Interesting.
And this might mean the Jazz are willing to move on from him.
Yeah.
I think it might be a little early for that. I think we could give him some more time. But
yeah.
How do you feel about maybe trading Kessler?
Well, I'm kind of big on Kessler. It kind of does make me feel good to know that he has some value around the NBA. Because even though I'm big on him, I recognize that last year was not very good basketball from him. But the first year was. But if he continues to digress with us, maybe we could move him at the deadline, get a couple. I don't know if I want any more picks, but maybe we could get another piece to help us build.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So I think give him this first half of the season, see what he's made of.
Yeah.
Then let's talk, because I think teams will be willing to give us some good stuff at the trade deadline for him.
Absolutely.
Yeah, also, I just saw this. We didn't mention Kenny Lofton got signed by the Bulls.
Oh, did he really?
Did you see that?
Okay.
So he's got his shot again.
Nice. I wonder what the Bulls are going to do if they're going into a rebuild. I guess they kind of lost their two biggest pieces, arguably, Caruso and DeRozan.
Maybe. Yeah, they want to trade LaVine.
Yeah.
So he's just making so much money.
Yeah, I didn't have a chance to watch the whole thing. I saw some clips, but did you catch the noteworthy doc?
Yes.
What were your thoughts on it?
I'll give you my take. So it's about an hour and 30 or hour 20 long.
Okay.
So it's a pretty decently long documentary.
Yeah.
And I really liked it. I liked how there was a lot of things in there I didn't really know, just being younger.
Yeah.
So like it talked a lot about Frank Layden, his coaching years with Adrian Dantley, and he even coached Karl Malone as well.
Yeah.
And he basically had such a great coaching career that they just told him, like, you tell us when you're done.
Yeah.
And that's pretty awesome to me. And I think Jerry Sloan, kind of the same deal. They basically told Jerry Sloan, you tell us when you're done.
Yeah.
And we'll just keep you here. Oh, and man. So it's cool to see like the legacy that they had of coaches. I feel bad for Tyrone Corbin because he had a lot of pressure on him after Jerry Sloan. But really, and then Quinn Snyder and Will Hardy, it seems like we've had great coaches throughout 50 years.
Yeah.
One interesting thing, you'll notice this when you watch it. Gordon Hayward, not really mentioned at all.
Yeah, kind of interesting.
And Donovan Mitchell, Rudy Gobert era, not really mentioned at all.
Mm.
So it's here and there, like some highlights, and they talk about it for like a few minutes, but really not much. So I don't know. What do you think about that? Like, why would they not really do Hayward in there?
That is interesting. I mean, it kind of makes a little bit of sense because they wouldn't probably be able to interview those guys yet. Like,
The thing is, I just saw they interviewed Hayward on the Jazz podcast.
Oh, did they really?
Yes.
Okay. So I don't think that's the reason. Yeah, I mean, that's like 10 years of our history. Like, of our 50, that's like 20% of our 50 years of, you know, or I'm not a math guy, but that sounds about right. I don't know. We had some good runs in that time, so.
Yeah, I would say Ryan Smith, great job. Like, I love the documentary. I'm glad you made it.
Yeah.
But I'm just nitpicking here.
A little bit.
I would have loved some more of the recent Jazz years because that's really what I cling to. And it was interesting. Another thing is they talked a lot about Larry H. Miller and Gail Miller.
Yeah.
And this kind of was a cool story in there. When the Jazz were recently moved to Salt Lake, after a couple years, the team was in pretty bad debt. And this is before Larry H. Miller bought the team.
Yeah.
He organized a group of people to bail out the Jazz because they believed that the Jazz were what the city needs, right? And so that's just so cool to hear, like, the sacrifice that he made for his family and for others to be able to have the Jazz stay in Salt Lake. And it really, in my opinion, from what I saw in the documentary, I don't think the Jazz would be in Salt Lake if it weren't for Larry H. Miller.
No.
And so every time you see his name, you gotta give some thanks to Larry for keeping the Jazz around. Otherwise, we would not have that basketball in our lives. I don't know. That would make me a lot sadder. I don't know what my team would be at that point.
Oh, absolutely. That, it was just making me kind of think about, like, the history, too. And we were, well, I went to like a big conference downtown at the Salt Palace, and I was just like thinking in my head how crazy it is that like this is part of the Jazz history.
Right.
Like, the Jazz played here, and obviously we're so grateful for the Delta Center because that's a much better setup for the Jazz. But there's just like so much history. Like, this runs deep in our state. You know, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, and I think the Delta Center and Karl Malone and Stockton, they're the ones that, and Larry H. Miller, right? That's when the Jazz were at their peak.
Absolutely.
Right. And it was cool to see. They talked a lot about Carl and John and their years together. And I mean, we might get into that more as the summer goes along, as we're scraping for more Jazz news. We might talk a little bit more about the history of it, but I thought that was so cool. So definitely go check that out.
Oh,
worth the watch, but I do wish they'd talked a little bit more about recent years.
Absolutely. I think at this point you can find it on YouTube. Is that correct?
Yep, that's where I watched it.
Cool. So you don't need any kind of subscriptions. You can find
free.
It. Yeah, we'd love to hear your thoughts as well, what you thought was missing, what they talked too much about or too little about or whatever it is. did you see that a couple weeks ago we guessed what we thought their 2K ratings were going to be? They've come out with the top 100 over the last week. And the only Jazz player on there was Lauri Markkanen, ranked 40th in the NBA at 86 overall, which I believe was lower than we both guessed.
Yeah, I can't remember exactly. I thought he was going to be 88 or something like that.
Yeah, I think we both said somewhere around there. What are your initial thoughts? Do you think do you think 40 is a good... Is that too low or too... What do you think?
I think it's like 5 to 10 spots too low.
Yeah, I could agree with that.
Because there's like a guy I see on here, Domantas Sabonis. He's an 88. Mm-hmm. And he's at like 29 out of 100. Mm. I think I'd put Markkanen on par with...
Yeah,
Sabonis, Karl Towns, Siakam, Zion, that range. So I'd put him more at 30-ish.
I could agree with that.
And there's some guys above Lowry that I'm just not really agreeing with. Like Chet Holmgren's already above Lowry after 1 year, which is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like Chet Holmgren's never been an all-star.
Nope.
Lowry was like an at all-star level last year. He just got hurt.
Yeah.
And then Jaren Jackson's above Lowry too. I don't know if I agree with that, but what are you thinking?
Yeah, I think he's a little too low. I mean, we saw it last year. I think Lowry's like a borderline all-star, and 40 is way too low for... I mean, you've got 28 all-star slots, maybe 30. What is it? Yeah, something like that. So that puts him a little lower than that. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Jaren Jackson being above him seems pretty criminal to me. Some of these older guys on here too, like DeMar DeRozan, I think he's definitely 87 or higher at some point in his career, but now I'm not really sure about that one.
I think if I was going to guess, I don't think 2K like watches the Jazz games.
Yeah.
If they did, I think they'd fix it.
Yeah.
But we'll volunteer 2K to make the ratings for you. We'll fix them. At least for the Jazz, we'll do that. We can put Lowry a little bit higher.
Yeah, we'll be realistic. We'll go ahead and even though he's not on the Jazz, we'll give Talen Horton-Tucker a 65. You know?
Yep. I mean, he's always had a pretty good overall 2K. He's been like 77 or higher.
Yeah, but he's the only player on the top 100. What player surprise do you think anybody's missing?
Well, we were talking about this before we recorded. Colin Sexton's, we feel like, the second best player. He's not on this list, which means that he is not even an 80 overall.
Yeah.
Or at least 81 or above. He's not that.
Yeah.
I don't think so. I think he should be like an 82.
Yeah, I agree.
Just to read some of the names that are above Colin Sexton: Austin Reeves, RJ Barrett, Andrew Nimhard, Chris Paul, D'Angelo Russell,
Devin Vassell,
Naz Reid, Daniel Gafford, Derek Lively.
It's a shame.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Sexton deserves to be on this list at like 80 or something like that.
Absolutely. I think Keyonte could be pushing the list. I don't think he...
Next year.
Yeah. I would like to think that Keyonte is probably just outside of this top 100. The lowest guy on here is Jaden McDaniels at 80. So I wouldn't be surprised if Keyonte's like right there in the next 10, maybe, would be my guess. But
yeah, there's also like a couple guys that I just think their ratings are not what I'd agree with. Zach LaVine's only an 83.
Yeah.
To me, he was great last year other than the injury. And so I think he should be like an 86 or higher, at least 85. And then I think you mentioned Fred VanVleet's an 84. I feel like that's a little high for him.
Just a little bit, yeah.
But any other guys you see on this list that you're just like not sure about?
Man, I don't know if I'm on DeAndre Ayton at 83. Probably just a tad lower. Yeah. I do think 2K is a little bit loyal to their guys. Like Draymond's still an 83. That's probably not too far off, but it's also probably just because he's Draymond. He's a Hall of Famer. And same with Chris Paul. He was in the 80s somewhere.
He's an 81.
Not sure.
Derek White's an 86.
Yeah, that one's a little rough.
Evan Mobley is an 86 too.
Yeah, I guess you get special treatment when you play for the Celtics. Well, when
yeah, I mean, that makes sense. I think Drew Holiday is an 87.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I don't know. Hopefully Colin Sexton will move up. We don't really know what his actual rating is yet. I'm guessing it's probably 80. Yeah. Be my guess.
But. Again, I don't think they watch the Jazz, but no. Hopefully they do this year.
Yeah. Yeah, for real.
Yeah, then another news, all the teams have been releasing their schedules and fun videos. I think that started with the NFL, and which I feel like the NFL, it makes more sense because you only have like 16 or 17 games. NBA, it's kind of interesting how they do it.
Yeah.
We watched the Jazz's schedule release video. How'd you like that?
That was good. I thought it was kind of clever. The luxury tax joke was funny with the Warriors.
Yeah. Battleship with the Clippers. It was all like board game related, right?
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of it is kind of interesting with, because we know they're going to play everybody, right? But like,
yeah.
There was some interesting Christmas Day games. Did you see the schedule for Christmas Day? So we're going to have Spurs versus Knicks, which could be interesting. Wolves versus Mavericks, which I think would be a really good game. Sixers and Celtics. Lakers and Warriors is always a classic. And Nuggets and Suns. So that's...
I like some younger teams there too. Yeah, I like,
absolutely.
I think they're trying to introduce the casual fan to some of those guys.
Right?
So I think
like
that's
the
good.
Spurs were pretty bad last year, but they must just be anticipating that by Christmas they're a little
better.
I'm
already trying to plan going to the Jazz when Wembanyama comes to Salt Lake.
Oh, yeah.
He's just so fun to watch, even if we lose. Like,
oh, seriously. It's so
did you
fun.
See Wemby last year?
Yeah.
How was that?
Yeah, it's... It was my free ticket with my Jazz Plus, and so I was in the upper bowl. But still, just from way up there, I'm just like, this dude's a freak. Just like, he doesn't look like he belongs. Like, he looks like he belongs, but nobody else looks like they're even in the same league as him. He's so massive.
Good.
It's insane.
Yeah, and then, I don't know, I'm trying to count them. The Jazz don't have very many national TV games.
No.
But we do have a couple. I don't know. Do you count NBA TV as a national TV game? I'd feel like no.
Not really, no.
That means we only have two. One of them's versus Minnesota, January 30th on TNT at home. And then February 7th, Phoenix, in Phoenix.
Yeah.
So interesting there. I don't know why those would be national TV games.
Yeah.
Maybe Minnesota because of the John Collins poster last year.
Yeah.
And so they're hoping that they get something like that again.
Yeah.
I don't know why Jazz and Suns would be on national TV though.
Yeah.
Is there like any storylines there, you think?
I don't know. I can't think of any.
All I could think of is last year we went into double overtime.
Oh, that was like a really close one.
So
yeah.
Maybe they're just like trying to
maybe it's
grab the games
Grace
that were good
Allen
last year
rematch.
And hope for it again.
Yeah. The it looks like, so I found a ranking of all NBA teams ranked based off of how many national TV games, excluding NBA TV, and the Jazz only have two.
Yep.
And that puts us at, there's six teams below us who all only have one. That's the Nets, Hornets, Pistons, Blazers, Raptors, and Wizards. So
makes sense.
It does make sense, yeah.
So count our blessings, I guess, that we got two.
The thing that makes me, I guess it makes sense because the NBA makes money, but the Lakers have the most with 29.
Right.
It's just like, come on.
I bet they run the analytics, like
they
what teams
do
the best, right? So that makes sense.
Warriors are third with 24. Celtics at two makes sense. They're the champs.
The Bucks probably get a lot.
The Bucks have 17. Yeah, they're like
pretty solid.
In the top 10.
I guess the Knicks would be high on there too.
Yeah, they're fourth with 24. They're tied with the Warriors.
That's more than last year for them, I bet.
Yeah, and then we got Dallas, Denver, Philadelphia, Phoenix, Minnesota's at 18. Good. Happy for them. They're a smaller market.
That's crazy, actually.
Yeah.
Dang. I guess I'll be watching some Timberwolves games this year.
The one that's kind of disrespectful, though, the Thunder only have 15. I mean, only have 15, but I don't know.
That is interesting. I think a lot of people think they're the favorite.
One of the best teams
in the
NBA.
Yeah,
yeah.
they're just going to be better this
especially
next year
if you
too.
Added Caruso and Hartenstein. That's
yeah, I think the casual fan's not as interested in the Timberwolves as like the or the Thunder as the kind of more into it NBA fan.
That's true. That's true. So yeah, kind of interesting how they do it. It would be interesting to see how they have those discussions with TV.
Yeah, are there any teams this year or this coming season that you're really excited to see the Jazz play?
I think I've always been excited to see this play the Wolves.
And that's one of our national TV games,
yeah,
right?
But it'll be cool to see with Joe Ingles being there as well.
Oh, that's the national TV storyline right there.
Yeah, they got, I mean, now they've got
Joe Ingles returned to Utah, yeah.
They got like four former Jazz guys on there now.
Yeah.
I always think it's fun us playing the Nuggets.
Just had our number.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw somebody the other day, this is just kind of a side note, on Reddit, somebody was talking about how Denver was one of our rivals, and everybody was like disagreeing. Yeah.
They're in the same division.
Yeah. I remember back in the day when divisions actually mattered in the NBA, it felt like like them and Portland, it felt like we were really...
Thunder.
Yeah, we were really like rivals with them, but now it just kind of... It makes it a little less weight, I guess, but I always like playing them. It's fun.
I guess another team I'm excited for us to play is the Spurs. Just because of Wembanyama, I already kind of mentioned that.
It'll be fun.
And I also would say the Oklahoma City Thunder. Because we, if I'm not mistaken, I think we beat them last year. At least once.
We played good games with them. Yeah.
I know we play them four times. So hopefully we can get two.
Oh, yeah.
At least.
It's always fun seeing LeBron James doesn't have a great track record against the Jazz, so
that's true.
It's always fun playing him. I'm a big LeBron fan, so I enjoy watching LeBron, but I enjoy
I know those tickets are always going to be a lot more expensive when he's coming to town too.
Absolutely. And do you think, well, I was thinking about this today, so now LeBron is playing with his son. Is he 40 already or is he turning 40? I can't remember.
He's already 40, I think.
Okay, he's already 40. Do you think this is LeBron's farewell tour, or do you think...
No.
Don't think so?
I think he's got at least another year after this.
Yeah.
I don't think LeBron knows when he's going to finish yet, so I think...
Yeah.
If he's going to have a farewell tour, he'll probably say it. I hope he'll say it at the beginning of the year.
Yeah. That's true. That's true. I could... It just like logically in my mind makes sense. Well, he's still playing at such a high level, so it's hard to know. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know if he'll ever like get worse. Like,
yeah.
We saw him in the Olympics and he was the best. Well, him and Steph were the best players, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, like,
not even close.
If he's at the peak, like, why not keep going? I just,
yeah.
It only adds to your legacy, and I'm sure he loves playing still. So,
yeah.
Jazz play the Lakers on February 12th in Salt Lake and February 11th in LA. Mm. So we play them back to back.
Interesting.
With a plane trip in the middle. And then they also come to town December 1st.
Mm.
So
that'll be fun to watch that.
Yeah, the Jazz also have a New Year's Day game.
Oh, really?
In New York in the Garden.
Okay.
So that's pretty fun.
Let's go.
Yeah, I don't know. There's no real other takeaways I have from their schedule. Just every team, right?
Absolutely.
Gotta play them all.
Yeah. Speaking of schedules, we're at that point in the year when college football's starting up.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I believe the first college football games has started already. Florida State's currently up on Georgia Tech, playing in Ireland, 11-7.
Oh, wow.
So that's pretty dope. That's kind of the week zero game that they have every year. Mm-hmm. But week one starts next weekend. All of our local teams play kind of weaker games as Power Five teams do. BYU kicks off against Southern Illinois. I believe we'll both be there, hopefully, if we get our tickets.
In Lavelle.
And then Utah plays Southern Utah, and Utah State plays Robert Morris. I've never even heard of Robert Morris.
I just remember
Morris,
they were in the NCAA tournament in basketball one year.
Okay.
I don't know if, or it might have actually been the NIT.
Yeah.
When BYU played them in the NIT.
Yeah, that would make sense.
Yeah, no, I didn't know they had a football team though.
So I'm not obviously not a Utah State fan, but you know, hopefully all three of these teams can do what they're supposed to this year.
Utah is supposed to be good. They're one of the best overalls in college football 25. They're like preseason ranked top 25.
Right? Yeah, absolutely.
So,
yeah.
And if I'm BYU does play them this year.
They
right?
do. Yeah.
Is it in
later
Utah?
In the season? I believe we're in Salt Lake this year. Okay. Yeah. So it's kind of cool to BYU used to play Utah every year, like late in like November.
Right.
And then when Utah switched conferences, it usually was in like September.
Or not even every year.
And if we were lucky. But I believe that this year they're playing in November again. So that's kind of exciting to have it back at like the end of the season. Yeah, November 9th is when we play them. So hopefully BYU
is
has...
Is there any BYU players that you're hoping can be an X factor this year?
Ooh.
Or Y factor, like the BYU Sports Nation say?
Yeah, I think our receiving core is going to be really big. Like
Chase Roberts,
Cody Epps,
Parker Kingston.
Yeah, absolutely. Parker Kingston, Keelan Marion. There's a couple guys that could play really good. Also, Keanu Hill switched over to tight end. Apparently, he's doing really well at that. BYU probably will name their starting quarterback on week one, like the day of the game. So
interesting.
We'll find out who that's going to be eventually.
Well, I guess Retzloff didn't play too bad last year, but
no.
Gary Bohannon, is that how you pronounce?
Yeah.
I'm still learning about him, but he seems pretty solid.
Yeah. I have some people on the inside who tell me that practice has been a little rough for Gary Bohannon. But he does have a lot of experience, so it's hard to just look him over. And then I think for Utah, the biggest is going to be, can Cam Rising stay healthy?
Right.
Like last year was pretty rough. Their offense was absolute. Somehow it was worse than BYU's offense last year. And that's saying a lot.
Yeah.
But with Cam Rising, they're going to be pretty good. So I think he's their biggest.
Yeah. I'm not looking forward to that game this year. I don't know how confident I feel. But.
No. Yeah.
And then Tyler Batty.
Yeah,
I think he's going to be really good as well on the
D
line.
Yeah, Jacob Robinson is going to be pretty big.
Mm-hmm. So all exciting things.
Yeah, absolutely.
Can't wait. Thank you all for listening to this episode of the Tuned In Jazz Podcast. We're grateful that you took the time to listen to us. If you like this episode, share it with a friend. We're always loving to grow our audience. Leave us a rating on Spotify or Apple or wherever you're at, and we hope you enjoy the week, and we'll catch you next week.
Peace.